back at the house, a group of flamingos had been laid out on the doorstep, dead and at peace. They looked as if they'd just completed a most adventurous migration from jungle to seaside village via the great deserts of the globe. All was intact, apart from their tongues. They'd been removed and were on a plate somewhere in history, part of a banquet after a particularly violent gladiatorial clash earlier in the day. Now the tigers stood on their hind legs as men and wore the armour of the slain. From the snows they came by train, the giant grey iron worm with its glowing lantern snout pushing through the mists, hunting for food, burning the sky. It came to a metallic halt, riveted sides taut like a beast primed to kill, steam spilling from its grilled jowls. Its presence was meant to be felt, experienced like war. It was an ominous arrival in a town that hadn't known war, but might soon. This type of machine, best kept in the pages of a history book, monochrome and two-dimensional, all the fear and rage contained within, able to be scrunched up at the end of your fingertips and hurried into a fire should it show signs of life. Metal screaming in shame for the sins it committed, the gorging it had done, or perhaps. Guards beneath floodlights and contamination suits, wielding submachine guns, doing little to contain its horror, as European women with white skins and rouge lips frolicked with lovers and government officials in grey tenement blocks watched over by spies. Made up of a single carriage attached to the engine, the propeller shaft disengaged and the creature slumped to its belly. In its forlorn, blind eye, a slit that looked as if it had been cut by a deranged surgeon, and which ran the width of the locomotive, there lay a faint hope that any estranged offspring it once had would return and seek comfort under its cold, dead weight. And what was a frozen as hell morning. Tiny gums clamped around the pilot, tendrils mixing and clinging to its mechanical gut. And when the doors opened and the tongue slid to the ground, some new neighbours arrived. The people disembarked and descended on the cul-de-sac. Each wore a dark blue uniform with a winged serpent insignia and lapel, gold and horror film red, and they marched in couples, splitting off towards different homes like dark streams found in the sea. As they approached, the front doors opened as if by magic, and in unison, and the miners of the households welcomed the strangers in. Do as we say, and you will be greatly rewarded. Cool, the little boy shouted. If I do my chores, will you buy me some new video games? Now you hush up there, son. That won't be necessary. The tall, thin lady with the pointed nose and the coal-rimmed eyes said from beneath a hat that looked like an orbiting spaceship. She stared deep into the man, his head turned into an arcane machine with foreign tongues and signs. Patterns developed in the realm between his eyes and consciousness. Colours he never knew existed dividing and multiplying. Shapes produced shapes from their own slippery insides and deposited them on a factory conveyor belt. And he saw wings. Hundreds of thousands of beating wings, darkening the sky, descending upon earth. We're here to help you, the woman said. We're here to make your life as easy as it should have been. For too long, people like yourselves have had to toil. The there's been a lack of development in your strata of society, which has failed to elevate you to the heights you need to sublime. Do you not agree? Yes, the man replied. He sat bolt upright in his chair, his face a frozen cliff. His eyes were sharp and black as ink spots, pupils, tiny insects migrating to another planet. The man who accompanied the woman into the house stepped forward. For a start, you can tell the truth again. You can speak it without fear of repercussions. From here on in, this becomes a truth house. The words gathered momentum and echoed around the village like the approaching train. It was as if a special light had gone off in all their homes, warming them with traditions past. A pilot flying above would see them throbbing and glowing like the starters in pinball machines. And if they were high enough, they'd notice them forming an outline that matched the visitor's lapel insignia and gradually filled in as more and more homes were lit. All I want you to do is think about your life so far, the woman said to the parents, as it turned out to be as you'd expected it, sat on the hay bales of your youth, when you took that little motorbike and courted at the overlook. Children, smash the TV, throw the computers and radio in the bath, burn the phones, drown and burn. Drown and burn, otherwise no work will be done.